This is the Jeff Horowitz Show on 97.1 The Big Talker.
All right, we've got Gerald Celente from the Trends Journal. We've got Jane Betcher with a big education update. What's the future of education? The Jeff Horowitz Show starts now. Welcome, everyone. Thanks for listening. Jeff Horowitz here. I'm happy to be here with you today. Hope you're all having a great day. Another busy program. Gerald Celente is going to join us here in just a second. Trendsjournal.com, looking at trends in just about everything, and look forward to hearing from him. Plus, Jane Betcher, she was instrumental in getting kids back to in-person education, but now a bunch of kids have dropped off the rolls. Something like 35,000 kids have disappeared off the school rolls. What happened? What's happening to the money, that $10,000 that's attached to them? I think it's a good thing. And what's the future of education? And if you got any comments, we'd love to hear from you. Go ahead and chime in on the Just Wireless listener line, 877-971-3971, 877-971-3971. And you may have questions for my next guest, Gerald Celente. He's the publisher of Trends Journal. You can check it out at trendsjournal.com, trendsjournal.com. Go ahead and email me, talkwithjeff@icloud.com. Love to hear from you. All right, Gerald Celente joins us. Like I said, Trends Journal. And you can check it out at trendsjournal.com. Gerald, first of all, I guess I got to ask you this question because you're in New York and I'm looking at all this news of the COVID passport. And there's actually a bill right now in Arizona to make them illegal. And I guess your state's going a different direction. It's kind of a tale of two states or different states, the free states versus the these regressive, horrible, repressive states, I guess I should say. What's going on?
Yeah, you know, no, it's but, you know, I love the name they call it, the Excelsior Passport. You know, a wonderful name. You know, people call New York a liberal state, right?
Yeah.
You're not liberal. A liberal is willing, this is, if you go to Google, definition of liberal. Liberal, willing to respect or accept behavior or opinions different from one's own, open to new ideas. So don't call them liberals. These are little libtards. These are arrogant boys and girls to tell you who you should be, how you should be, and what you should be. You know, I consider myself a very lucky man. I own three of the most historic buildings in America. And it's a long story of why I bought them. I was looking to leave the country in 2010, went to Berlin and, you know, on a thing. And I said, how could they have destroyed this place when it was it was grander than Paris? Why didn't the people fight and stop the war before they was destroyed? So I came back in one of the buildings, and it's if you look up Kingston, New York, foremost historic buildings, it's the only place with pre-Revolutionary War stone buildings. And I bought them because I realized I can't run away. There are two-bit freaks everywhere. This is my country. Love it or leave it? No, you leave it. These seeds of democracy were sown here. Kingston was the first capital of New York State, the third Dutch settlement. The Constitution that was written for Kingston, John Jay, he was the judge over here in Kingston, the courthouse right across the street from me. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's John Jay. Over 70% of America's Constitution was written here. They took it from that Constitution of New York State. So now I'm saying this because to put it all together about freedom. I bought these buildings to launch Occupy Peace, a peace movement, and a freedom movement, no foreign entanglements. The seeds of democracy were sown here. I consider myself a lucky man. I'm a Napolitano born in the Bronx. I was born to be free. I was born to be me. When I shoot my mouth off, my father would say to me in Italian, Papagallo, parrot, stop repeating what everybody else is saying and think for yourself. That's not allowed anymore. You are not allowed to think for yourself. I'm that little boy over there that works for MSNBC, Scarborough. Did you hear what that little clown boy shot his mouth off last week?
No,
what
did he say?
Oh, this week. No, on Tuesday.
Yeah, what was it?
If you're against the vaccine, quote, people against the vaccine, quote, they're being stupid. They're following conspiracy theories. They don't understand. You know why? Because they're such morons. That little boy, come over here and call me a moron. I put out a magazine every week. This last one was 157 pages, no ads. I know the facts, you little clown. Oh, no, I'm not a clown. I'm a prostitute. I'm little Joe Scarborough, the prostitute. I get paid to put out by my corporate pimp and my government whoremasters. He goes on to say that our government, our sports team, our concert promoters damn well better put together something where you can show your vaccine receipt. This anti-science idiocy, you know, let them do that under a rock in their caves. Hmm. The time to try to reason with these people is long past. That little boy come over here and talk to me like that, man. No way. Who do you think you're talking to? Anti-science? Hey, little boy, the FDA has not approved it. That's right. Emergency. It hasn't been tested. It only takes about 10 to 12 years to test something long term.
When you talk about the vax pass, Gerald, and folks talking with Gerald Celente, trendsjournal.com, I'm looking at New York, who's saying, hey, we're going to push this through. If you want to get back to normal, go to sports events or do this, bigger events. But then you got Arizona, Representative Kelly, or Senator Kelly Townsend now. She's supposed to be on the program here, folks, coming up maybe this week or next. She's got a bill that would make vaccine passports illegal in Arizona. There's privacy concerns. There's concerns about leaving out segments of the society, Gerald, that just they don't want to take this. There's always going
to
be.
Yeah. Who the hell are you to tell me to take a vaccine?
Well, exactly. And that's that. But are they going to force it through?
Yes, you they're going to do everything they can to force it.
Yeah.
They're going to do everything they can to force it. Here, you can't make this stuff up. They created Israel because, you know, the Nazis, the Holocaust, and people went to Israel, right? The Israeli government, since it began, is run by the Ashkenazis. The Ashkenazis are the Khazar region, east of Turkey over there. And this is the first government that has, and we've been writing about this since it happened. They were the first government to enforce the passport.
Yeah, the green, they called it the green passport or something like
that. The green passport. Yeah, yeah. Ashkenazi, Ashkenazi. You go to the Jerusalem Post, because I don't want people calling me an anti-Semite. There's a protest movement going on now in Israel that they're saying this is like forcing the people to wear that yellow star. Mm-hmm. During the Nazi era. This is the same thing with this passport. And it's the Ashkenazis that have enforced it. It's enforced in Israel now. You have to have the green passport to go to a concert, to go to a restaurant, to do this and that.
Yeah.
This is, and now what they're going to do, every year they're going to come out with, they're going to keep adding the numbers of how many people died from the COVID the virus. Mm-hmm. And they're going to say you need a vaccine every year.
Get your boosters. Get your vaccine. Yeah, it's
you got it. Yeah, and yeah. Now what they totally ignore who's dying, why, where, and how. Oh, Canada, only 80% of the people that died are from nursing homes. And you know, once you get out of a nursing home, then you go to day camp. Everything is perfect. You're not on your way out. Oh, and who else is dying? Oh, only the facts. 94% of the people that died, according to the CDC, had 2.6 pre-existing comorbidities. And what are the biggest ones? Obesity and type 2 diabetics.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and that's why your rates are so high in America and the UK. Only 42% of Americans are obese. Only 42%. We're getting close to that 50%, but we're not there yet. 70% are overweight in the whole total.
Yeah, we're in a horrible shape as a nation. Let me ask you this, Joe, Gerald. Because I'm here in Arizona, and I think look, things are, all the restrictions are gone here. Although there's some mask wars going on between a couple mayors and the governor now, but it's basically, it's wide open here. It's been buzzing for a long time. You have friends, you know, folks in Florida as well, Texas, the same thing. It's really a tale of two different states. If we follow the model that the founders envisioned, the states should be able to do what they want and continue to do what they want. I see half the states free and opening up, or open, or have been open really for many months. And then there's states like yours in California and Michigan. So is there just going to be this mass outflow from states like yours? And will it buoy up the free states like Arizona is? Well, let me ask you this, Gerald, are you going to get out of New York, or are you like, hey, this is my home?
I can't stand it here anymore.
I hear you.
I went out last night. I said I'm in Kingston, right across the Hudson River. Right across the other side is Rhinebeck. Rhinebeck is like, this is like a Hamptons north, you know, Hamptons is on the water. This is the Hamptons and the, this is where Chelsea Clinton got married.
Ooh, okay,
all right?
Okay.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's just to give you the idea of the place. And I moved up here in 79, you know, when it was nothing. It was a very cool place.
Yeah.
Artists, you know, and then the rich people found
real
it.
Real liberals.
And
now got, like Woodstock liberals, you know, existed still. Yeah,
fake libtards. Libtards.
Well, but they were different back then. They were different. Yeah,
oh,
but
it was so cool up
here. I bet.
But anyway, so now I go there last night for dinner, and we go out. It's 7:30 at night.
Mm-hmm.
This is Route 9. This used to be the major route between New York to Albany. My car was the only car on the street, on one side of the street.
Wow.
Dead. One of my new terms in my Trends Journal, we call it Boca Midnight. You know, when you go down to Boca Raton, it's all old people, right? Myself, my generation.
You eat dinner at four. Yeah, go ahead.
Right. They have an early bird special, and you're in bed at 10 o'clock, right? 10 o'clock has become the new midnight. It's dead. Yeah. It's dead. When I was a young guy, you know, we didn't go out, like on the weekends, on Saturday night. We didn't go out till 1 o'clock in the morning. That was when I was a young guy. That was the life it used to be. Now it's dead. The businesses are dead.
Yeah.
This is, and it's not only America. Oh, they just closed down France again. And we're going to have a curfew at 7 p.m. Why, I say it should be 6:30. I think 7:15. We'll make up any crap we want.
Gerald, here's my point, though, is it's not like that here. It's not like that in Florida. It's not like that in Texas. And I mean, there's plenty of places. We welcome you. Come to Arizona.
I love it where I am. I'm the foothills of the Catskill Mountains.
It's beautiful. I know. It's beautiful.
It's beautiful, and they suck the joy out of life.
That's,
you know, so to ask you, I'm considering moving.
Yeah. It's hard,
but I have all these valuable. I love it. I hate it now. I can't stand it. And if you don't believe what I believe, then you don't have no right to think, because it's libtard land. What I used to love about where I am is that everybody before the COVID war broke out, it was very diverse over here,
mm-hmm.
and you could be who you wanted to be, and it was fine. Just be who you want to be. Not anymore. Now you got to be like me.
Yeah.
You must believe what I tell you to believe. This is not America anymore. I'm in charge. I'm your governor. I'm a little daddy's boy, born on third base. Thought I hit a home run, Andy Cuomo. Oh, and I gotta give you executive orders. Executive orders? How about shove it? No.
Gerald, do you see, though, that all these other states are opening up, though? What do you do in a state like New York or a country like France? It's like a tide. I've said this before to you. It's like a tide coming in, and your kids built a sandcastle, and you're trying to build that wall to stop it. And it becomes almost futile. But do the other states fall eventually? I don't know. I see states like Florida and Texas and Arizona, just to name a few, that are holding their own. Not to just grind on this. I guess my perspective, I know what's going on in New York and California, and it's going in the wrong direction. But it's probably time to get out, I guess. I said this to my friends in California.
Yeah, I know. I'm telling you, I'm really considering, you know, in moving.
But
you have no idea the beauty that I have over here.
It breaks
my heart. Yeah. You know, I mean, you know, and I don't, I just, it's not fun anymore.
Yeah.
So, but I'm fighting. Matter of fact, I'm going to have, I had a big rally on the 4th of July last year.
I probably had the biggest
rally in America at the time.
Yeah.
And I'm going to have another one and another one and another one, and I'm fighting for freedom.
Just doing it.
So I'm fighting.
Yeah. Well, Gerald, we got to take a quick break. I want to get into trillions for billionaires and maybe end on some health news. But I always do a big road trip every summer. International's out right now. We've been doing more domestic ones, especially with three kids. My kids have never been into New England, to Maine and all that, so we'd have to go through New York. So maybe we'll be at one of your rallies, your gatherings in New York. I'm a little nervous, though, about going back to these East Coast states. I got to be honest with you, and I think that will hurt your economy. Even more, because people are saying, I might as well go to Arizona. I might as well go to Texas. So they're, you know, I'm even thinking, hey, do I want to go to New York? Do I want to deal with the craziness there? Gerald, let's talk about the trillions. Let's talk about the billionaires, and let's hit on some health fitness. All right, folks, stick around. More with Gerald Celente, trendsjournal.com, trendsjournal.com. Don't go anywhere. Hang tight. Back in a minute. Folks, welcome back. We're here with Gerald Celente, Trends Journal. You can check it out at trendsjournal.com, an awesome magazine that comes out every week. I think 100 plus pages, Gerald, every week. And one of the issues you're hitting on is $4 trillion for billionaires as middle class shrinks. I was talking about this on the program yesterday. You got the airlines, you got all these companies just getting billions and billions. And meanwhile, average American folks, Gerald, they got $1,400 to kind of keep them quiet. Reminds me of Roman times, bread and circus. You know, just here's a little bit. It's sad to see what's going on. Your take on it in the Trends Journal.
Well, it's... you know, it's a total takeover. The $4 trillion richer the big companies got, and think about what these politicians have done. Politics suck the blood out of us. Many ticks. You're not an essential business. Walmart's an essential business.
Yeah.
Costco's an essential business.
I hate that.
Well, I haven't been to a Walmart probably in over 20 years. And very important, by the way, back in the 80s, there was this guy from New Hampshire or Vermont, one of the places up there, that was very outspoken. He was getting a lot of media time. Then they cut him off about Walmart taking over and how what they did was we used to have antitrust laws, the Robinson-Patman Act, Sherman Antitrust Act, Clayton Antitrust Act.
Sure.
And, of course, the last one that Clinton did on the banking end was the just drew a blank on it. The Banking Act.
Yeah.
So he did away with that. So with the point being, there were antitrust, so the bigs couldn't take over,
mm-hmm.
and now they have. So going back to it is that we've lost our opportunity. You're not an essential business. Only the bigs are essential. You're nothing. You are a piece of garbage. Amazon is essential. You can work there. So what they've done, the politicians get paid off. Morons and imbeciles call it campaign contributions. They're bribes and payoffs. I was the assistant to the secretary of the New York State Senate at 26 years old. I used to run major political campaigns in Westchester County, which was the richest county in America. You know, and I've been there, with presidents, prime ministers. I know what the deal is.
Mm-hmm.
So now what they've done is they've destroyed America as the land of opportunity. So only essential businesses are getting all the money, and that's why the rich are getting richer, and we're all going down. This is unprecedented. So what they're doing now is throwing pennies in the people's pockets to shut them up. And like they're dealing with these stimulus bills and the other things while they're giving the money to the bigs.
Yeah.
So it's a total takeover.
Well, again,
it's global.
Yeah, no, it's everywhere, and there's very few places you can go in the world. I was speaking to someone actually who was in Uruguay, and he says same thing there. It's the same thing over in everywhere you look. But I'll go back to what we were talking about, Gerald, and folks are talking with Gerald Celente, trendsjournal.com. Gerald, that trend perhaps, though, for states, I'll look back on Arizona, and I think there's similar legislation going on. There's a bill that cleared the Senate already here, the state Senate I'm talking, to pull away executive authority from the governor. Because the governor did have a lot of executive authority, and this would make it so that, look, Gerald, I kind of get an emergency. Like I always say, like if there's a train derailment, I want someone to be able to act quick. But emergency for me is a day or 2 days to, you got to evacuate. There's a gas leak or whatever. But we're a year into an emergency. So again, back to the possible trend here. I don't know. I won't take words. You're the trends guy. It may be to states that have limits on these governors, and I see it coming, but I don't see it coming in the New Yorks and Californias and Michigans. Go ahead.
Well, look, we've been saying, we've been writing about this a long time. There's going to be anti-vax, and there's going to be new political movements, and we call it anti-vax, anti-immigration, anti-vax, anti-tax, anti-immigration and anti-establishment movements.
Yeah.
So we're going to see a new third party movement. That's what we see going nationally.
Okay.
And you're going to start seeing them happening in states too. The only reason why these people are in charge is because they're being blacked out by the media, the people that are against them. As I mentioned to you with this guy Scarborough, he can say this kind of stuff on the media, but I can't come on and say, wait a minute, you're wrong.
Yeah.
This, and here's why. I'm not allowed to say that. I'm a conspiracy theorist, or I'm idiot or stupid. So we're going to start. So what it's going to take is going to take money, and it's going to take people investing into making it happen. There was a thing called the Berlin Wall. It came down because the people went there and they never left, and more people came and they didn't leave, and more people came and they didn't leave, and they brought it down. And that's what we have to do. We have to unite for freedom, peace, and justice. It's not about each state. It's about the United States of America.
Good point. Yeah, good point. And Gerald, I think about the millennials, and I know some people are like, oh, the millennials, but it's a big demographic that's kind of coming into their own as far as they're getting into power, they're getting into more money, more spending, et cetera, et cetera. That could be good or bad because some of their philosophies could be a little wonky, but they don't listen generally to the, like, oh, you watch this on network news? I don't even know what that is. It's totally different. And I think that at some point they're going to realize what my generation, your generation, past generations did as far as the debt and what they handed to them. I don't think it's there yet because it's being masked over with stimulus and all this phony stuff. But eventually they're going to – I would be pretty PO'd, Gerald.
No, they are. And it's not one of our top trends for 2021 is youth revolution. And it's happening around the world. It's happening in Myanmar. It's happening in Uganda. It's happening in Thailand. It was happening in Hong Kong before they closed it down. So the young people have no future. And you nailed it. They don't know who a Scarborough is.
Yeah.
I was with someone 31 years old and telling her about this. And I said, you know who Joe Scarborough is? No, I have no idea who it is. So you're right. And their future is gone. They have no future. And again, the bigs have taken over everything.
Yeah.
So it's going to be a youth revolution. And it's going to be, again, anti-tax, anti-vax, anti-immigration. You want to bring in more people? We can't take care of our own.
Yeah. I agree. And let's see what happens. It might be ugly for a long time to get to that point. But, Gerald, let's end with this. And, folks, check out Gerald's magazine, trendsjournal.com, trendsjournal.com. Let's end with this. Fitness. I mean, more and more people. This is a trend that's been going on for a little while, but more and more people are more conscious about what they take in, I guess, food-wise. My kids have chickens, by the way, and they produce a lot of eggs. So there's more of that, but also being fit. And you're calling for that to kind of ramp up in recognition of that and people pursuing that more, I think.
They used to say before all the COVID war began, people are getting into good health. They're not.
Mm.
It's a very small percentage. And in all the talk about the COVID war, you talk about vaccinations, nobody talks about building up your immune system and getting strong. That's not allowed to be talked about.
Get some sunshine.
Natural healing is not allowed. The first book I worked on, by the way, I didn't write it. I worked on it. It was Natural Healing. And this is a Warner book back in the 80s when no one was talking about this stuff. And I have an honorary doctorate from the National University of Health Sciences for the work I've done in complementary and integrative medicine. So I know a little bit about this stuff. And what you're going to start seeing now, you talked about the millennials and the younger generation, they're going to really start moving into this big time. Because it's going to be like a new age movement. The new age thing started to happen when the economy went down back in the 80s. And, you know, people started finding their own selves. They're going to start doing it again. And whole health healing is going to be a big trend. It not for the majority, but, you know, you don't need the majority. Or, if you get, 25% of the population, that's a big market share.
Oh, yeah.
And that's what you're going to start heading for. So that's going to be a very, very big trend to look at as it moves forward.
Okay. So I should tell my kids, get more chickens and get those
raise your own.
Raise your own. and they can sell the excess because, man, these things, you imagine an egg a day. If you had to do that, it's amazing what they produce.
Yeah.
All right, Gerald. Hey, I appreciate the time. We'll look forward to having you back on. I think we're going to get you on more frequently. So it's always fun. Folks, check out trendsjournal.com. And Gerald, if you decide to, exit New York, check out Arizona. There's a lot of great places here.
I've been to Arizona.
Yeah, but let me warn you, there are some enclaves of craziness like Tucson and where I'm at, Flagstaff. So you got to be selective. But you'd have to.
I've been to Flagstaff, by the way.
Beautiful place, man. Beautiful place. Kooky politics, but that's what happens in a university town.
I went to Flagstaff. It used to be that song, the Route 66. Flagstaff, Arizona.
Yeah. Williams,
when
did you,
I was in Arizona.
And Williams?
I was there, and I had a great time. I even had a couple of drinks and ate in Flagstaff.
It's good stuff. And Williams, standing on the corner in Williams, Arizona, that's another one. There's a statue out there from the Eagles song. I'm sure you remember that one as well. Yeah, all right, Gerald, we'll look forward to having you on again next month. Thanks a lot. We'll talk with you soon.
Thank you.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Folks, we still have Jane Betcher coming up on education. Don't go anywhere. A lot more to come. Back in a minute. On another note, this is good news. We've been talking about the money and the trillions of dollars with Gerald Celente. By the way, that interview will be podcast here by about 6 p.m. talkwithjeff.com. But China, Japan, Germany, and other nations that are holding gobs of U.S. debt, they said, you've been good to us. You know, thank you for World War II, that whole thing. Thank you for the defense shield, at least in the case of Japan and Germany, over the past 50-plus years. We're going to forgive the debt. It's gone. And as a result of this, the feds, they confirmed that there's about $5 trillion of gold in Fort Knox, so they're going to release that, and every American citizen is going to get 1 year's living expense. It's good news. If it were true. It is April 1st. April Fool's Day. Sorry. No, I'm sorry. You thought you were going to get a year's living expenses, but no, that's not going to happen. It is April 1st, though, so seems like a big April Fool's Day joke that's been being played on us for the past year. It's kind of the opposite, though. We've got $30 trillion in debt. Projections are in the next couple years it's going to be up to $40 trillion. These guys aren't going to let go of the debt. The feds will try to wash it out, I guess, and we'll see what happens. But anyway, love to hear from you folks. Go ahead and email talkwithjeff@icloud.com. talkwithjeff@icloud.com. Plus, you can chime in on the Just Wireless listener line. Love to hear from you. Love all of your comments. Leave those comments. And then if you're not aware of this, if you're a new listener, every Wednesday, we do 2 full hours of your live listener comments, Open Line Wednesday. And yesterday, Rob Wilson from Timberline Firearms and Training was with us. And that's a great podcast to check out. A lot of folks were calling in from throughout Arizona, asking Second Amendment questions, but asking firearms questions as well. So you may want to listen back to that one at talkwithjeff.com to get your questions answered about different firearms and different Second Amendment questions. Plus, if you haven't subscribed to the podcast, if you go to talkwithjeff.com and click on in the very top row of buttons there, how to listen. Most of your favorite and the bigger podcast providers are there, including iTunes, including Amazon Music, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and Podbean, as well as there's a YouTube link, which we put stuff up there from time to time, not as much as the others. But please subscribe to those channels and share it, like it, do the star, do the, hey, I like this or whatever. It helps us expand greatly, and I really appreciate that. Speaking of economic issues, I'm looking at this report or this article from the Wall Street Journal on Fed bucks, also known as Fed coin. And the Wall Street Journal's reporting that researchers plan to make the code for a potential digital currency available for public examination later this year. I've talked a lot about this. This is basically, think of your Bitcoin. And Bitcoin is a digital currency, but it's not controlled by anyone like the Federal Reserve or anything. It uses blockchain technology. Look, it's gone up to like over $60,000 per coin. It's in my opinion, in a bubble. And if you want to send an email on that, we can debate that. But the feds don't want to be left out. So they're thinking about switching over to this Fed coin, this Fed wallet, the Fed bucks. Now, Wall Street Journal is saying sometime in the third quarter, the Federal Reserve Bank of Boston, working with researchers at the Massachusetts Institute of Technology, also known as MIT, will reveal the first stage of a project that could years down the road, they're saying, yield a Fed digital dollar. James Kuna, the Boston Fed's senior vice president of secure payments and fintech research, said in an interview last week. Now, U.S. Central Bank is one of many around the world considering the introduction of digital currency. Many of them, I think China already did this. We're talking with author Jim Rogers last year, and he said he went to China and it's all on your phone already. Proponents of the idea say digital currencies would offer faster settlements, cut money transfer costs, or even eliminate them, which I think that's a good thing right there. It's maybe the only good thing about this. And it may even have benefits for monetary policy. There's the nugget. There's the bad thing. Fed hasn't offered any details about what a digital dollar, which some have dubbed Fed coin, I call it Fed bucks, it rhymes with something, would look like. Back to the monetary policy. So what is being predicted they could do with federal digital money is they could juice it or unjuice it. And let me explain that. What they could do is say, Jeff, we're going to put $1,000 because Bernie Sanders says so, and we're doing the universal basic income. You're getting $1,000. Oh, by the way, the economy's not doing too good, Jeff. We need you to spend that $1,000 by, where are we at? April? It's April 1st. How many days are in April? I think there's 30. Let me pull up the calendar. My wife knows all this stuff. I can't remember. April 30th. Okay, so by April 30th, you have to spend that $1,000. If you don't, you're getting hit with a negative 10% interest rate. So we're going to basically take away 10%. We're going to take away 100 Fed bucks. This is just one thing they could do under monetary policy. Instead of flooding the economy with money, which takes months, sometimes even longer, they could say, hey, you're going to have a negative 10% hit. Go spend that money. Well, what are you going to do? If you have $1,000 and they're telling you you're going to lose 10% if you don't go spend it, you're going to go spend it. Or they could make it so you hold the money and say, hey, we're offering 10% bump this month because we don't want you. The economy's on fire. Slow it down. So they could juice and unjuice the economy a lot easier, which is a bad thing because politicians and bureaucrats have destroyed the whole system and the economic system over the past 50 years. So if we get to this point, that the idea behind Bitcoin was to be free of the meddling of politicians and of the bureaucrats. Fedcoin will be the exact opposite. Now, the only good thing about it is if you can get rid of the transfer costs, which is the middle person. So right now, I've talked about this recently, and our friend Ron has sent in quite a few emails on this. Every time you transact with your credit card, and let's say you're using Citibank or any of the big ones that handle these transactions, there's a fee to the vendor. and maybe even an annual fee for your card, et cetera, et cetera, you might be spending 2% more. So if we can eliminate that transfer fee, well, that's not a bad thing. Because in theory, you would think that things would go down in price or wouldn't increase or it'd be 2% less. We'll see if that actually happens. But anyway, I mentioned this. Keep this in mind. They're saying they're toying with the idea. That means the idea is coming for sure. Love your comments. Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. You can also chime in on the Just Wireless listener line, 877-971-3971. We got a few more minutes here. I'm going to hit on some more news items. And don't forget, coming up at 5:06, coming up in the next hour, we have Jane Betcher, who's going to give us a big education update. She's been instrumental in getting kids back to in-person education. She worked so hard on this. So did many other people. Kids are back now in Arizona to in-person education, but there's about 35,000 kids that have dropped off the rolls of the schools statewide. They don't know what happened to them. They probably left. They're probably homeschooling. Maybe they left the state. Maybe they went to private schools. We're not sure. But what's the future trend of education? Sticking with our theme for today after talking with Gerald Salente from Trends Journal, what's the future trend in education? Are more people going to just buck up and say, hey, I'm going to pay the $10,000 for my kids to go to private school, even though I'm already paying taxes for all this. I don't care. Our voucher's coming. We're going to talk with Jane Betcher at 5:06 on that. Okay, so the Flagstaff City Council met on Tuesday, and they are the big holdouts, one of two cities in Arizona that's a big holdout as far as this, the governor reducing the restrictions, eliminating basically the restrictions when it comes to COVID, and the mask mandate's the big issue. The mayor of Flagstaff, Paul Deasy, has said that you have to wear a mask. We're keeping the mask mandate in effect, and there's going to be a legal battle over this, I predict. Mayor Paul Deasy should be on the show tomorrow on Friday to give us a big update. But what they did decide is, again, one of the last cities that I'm aware of that's actually opening up. Flagstaff's way behind everybody. The fields are opening, it says April, and that's today, April 1st. So the fields, like the city athletic fields and things like that, are opening today. And originally they were going to hold the capacity to 30 people, which if you think about it, if you wanted to play a football game, that doesn't even count the coaches. That doesn't even make any sense. They decided to raise it to 80 people. 80 people can now go to these fields and watch these games or whatever, these events. They were going to do 50, but they did 80. And, I don't know where they come up with these numbers. And I'll ask the mayor this tomorrow. Why not 83? Why not 90? Why not 70? Why not 100? What's the difference? But you still have to submit a plan to return to play. It's called a return to play plan. So if you want to go and play in the parks and you're going to play a game, you're going to have these sporting events, I'll get more details from the mayor tomorrow. You got to submit a plan to the bureaucrats at the city. Now, one presenter pointed out that multiple studies have been done on outdoor spread risk of COVID. And the studies they say the risk is minimal. And I don't even know if they took into account the study, if you take into account Flagstaff in the spring. Flagstaff is a wind tunnel in the spring. So I would think it would blow away. But these studies are showing that outdoor spread of COVID is 16, up to 16 times, maybe even more, lower than indoor spread of COVID. So the council went with 80 because of that and because of the studies. By the way, cases in Arizona, I looked them up as of yesterday, as of March 31st, Coconino County had 3 cases, confirmed cases of coronavirus, whatever that means nowadays. Yavapai County had -7, so I guess there were some adjustments on past cases. Gila County, 4. I'm sorry, Yavapai County. Did I say Yavapai or Navajo? Yavapai County had -7. Gila had 4. Navajo County had 50. Mojave had 29. Now, statewide cases confirmed, that this was just for yesterday, were 733. However, 200 of those additional cases were actually from records cleanups, whatever that means. So there was actually 533 cases reported yesterday. And again, like I said, we'll talk with Mayor Paul Deasy tomorrow on the program about reopening the most strict city in the state, with the exception of, okay, there are 2 cities in Arizona that are challenging the governor. We've talked about this quite a bit, and there's another one here I want to add, or at least another, I guess you call it government. Flagstaff and Tucson are retaining the mask mandate, and they're challenging Ducey's executive order. Now, Pima County has joined in on this. The entire county has decided to keep the mask mandates in effect. Here's who is this? Dr. Francisco Garcia, Pima County's chief medical officer, said, "We believe we are on solid ground." I believe he's speaking legally. "Do we believe we are going to be challenged on this? Absolutely. Bring it on." So they're openly asking the governor for a challenge on the legalities of them having their own mask mandate in opposition to what the governor has said. I did speak to the governor's office. They say he's coming on. I pointed out that he hasn't been on the program in over a year. And lots of folks throughout northern Arizona and that listen to us really throughout Arizona now would love to hear from the governor, not just on Fox News, but, hey, actually come to us and have a conversation more than 3 minutes long. They said he's going to. I will keep you up to date, and we'll hold our breath and triple mask up. By the way, if you don't wear that mask in Pima County, up to a $500 fine. This is why the mask freedom bill needs to go forward. We had Representative Joseph Chaplick on. He's still pushing. I talked to him again, still pushing for the mask freedom bill. And I think that these cities like Flagstaff and Tucson and Coconino County have really blown it, because had they just kind of gone along and just kind of forgot about this, I think it would have taken a lot of the steam out of Representative Chaplick's mask freedom bill, because why do you need a mask freedom bill when there's no mask mandates in the state? But now what they've done is added fuel to his fire to push this through the legislature. Well, now, you know, you got to keep it going now. And I've told them this. I said, get it passed, because what if there's another spike? I don't think the governor would bring back the ability for these cities and counties to initiate mask mandates. But what about the future? Okay, next year or 2022, whenever a new governor comes in, maybe there's a very liberal governor. It's happened in Arizona before. And what if they say, hey, we're doing a mask mandate now for the flu season? That's why the mask freedom bill is absolutely essential, and they need to keep that going. By the way, the Prescott Mayor Mengarelli, I have sent a request to get him back on the program. They have rescinded their emergency COVID-19 proclamation, and so that's done. Prescott's getting something like $6.4 million, by the way, in COVID stimulus money. Another item here, Yavapai County is getting $46 million in COVID-19 funds. So the money's starting to juice in from all this this stimulus money that's floating around. One more thing, and we were talking about this with Gerald Celente. Senator Kelly Townsend, she used to be a representative. She's now in the Senate. She's proposed a strike-all bill making vaccine passports illegal. And we talked about this with Gerald. If you missed my interview, it'll be up at talkwithjeff.com by about 6 p.m. Vaccine passports are, if you want to get into sporting events, if you want to even travel, the airlines. I've got an article here about the International Air Transportation Association is announcing the development of a COVID vaccine passport. This is happening everywhere. So if you want to go on a plane, if you want to go to an event, you have to divulge all this information. You have to release, you have to pass the test. You have to show them the vaccine passport on your phone or your device or whatever. Well, Senator Kelly Townsend has a strike-all bill making vaccine passports illegal. I'm hoping to get her on this week still, maybe next week. A strike-all bill, by the way, is you take one bill that's totally unrelated that wasn't making it anywhere, that stalled in committee. It's kind of a cheesy process if you think about it, but you strike out everything in this bill. It's ridiculous. And you basically impose a new bill over it. So the bill on making the dandelion the state flower, which would never fly because that's just stupid, now becomes the anti-vaccine passport bill. I'm not saying that's what it was, but that's essentially what happens. You put a whole new bill over this thing. That's what Representative Kelly Townsend has done. All right. Still to come, we're going to talk with Jane Betcher, who's been instrumental in getting kids back to in-person education. What's the future of education? Where are these kids going? What happened to the 35,000-plus kids that disappeared off the rolls? We're going to talk with Jane Betcher about that. Plus, if you got a comment, go ahead and email talkwithjeff@icloud.com. talkwithjeff@icloud.com. And please go to talkwithjeff.com and subscribe to the podcast. Subscribe to the podcast. Hey, hang tight. Back in a minute.
The
This is the Jeff Horovitz Show on 97.1 The Big Talker.
All right, well, the kids are back in school, in-person education, but what is the future of education? Jane Betcher joins us. Another hour of the show starts now. I was trying to think of another April Fool's Day joke, but I think the last hour, that was good enough. The debt was paid off. We did that one, and all the gold in Fort Knox, which we don't even know what's in there, was released, and everybody's going to get another stimulus, and all that money's just going to flow to you. Yeah, no, that was my April Fool's joke, but I don't think anyone believed that. But anyway, folks, welcome back. Jeff Horovitz here. I'd love to hear from you. If you got an April Fool's joke, hey, go ahead and email it in. talkwithjeff@icloud.com. Plus, you can chime in on the Just Wireless listener line, 877-971-3971. If you missed last hour, it'll be podcast here in just a little bit. We're usually about 6 p.m. Gerald Salente of TrendsJournal.com, publisher of that magazine, joined us. Another fiery interview and fiery segment, a couple segments with him, so please check that out. But let's get with Jane Betcher. Oh, by the way, stick around, because next segment, when we come back, I will have the day's trivia question, the trivia question of the day. Then you got a chance. Our good friends at Finley Toyota, you got a good chance of winning two. I don't know if it's a good chance. You got a chance of winning two lift passes over at the Arizona Snowball for this season. So stick around for the trivia question of the day. Jane, do you have an April Fool's Day joke for us?
I'm awful with those.
Yeah. Yeah, luckily we didn't have to say, oh, all the kids are back in school, April Fool's.
I know, I was thinking, you know, no more math.
Yeah, well, kind of, except the kids still, I guess that's one of the big things, huh, Jane? The kids that are back in school, which has got to be the vast majority now in Arizona. Have you seen a number on that?
I think everyone should be now, unless you're high school or middle school and you're in an area which are pretty limited in a county with high numbers.
Yeah. Well, yeah, actually, yeah, my daughter's school, the NPA, Northern Preparatory Academy, they actually don't have all the school coming back to next week. There was actually some people, so they're like half.
Yeah.
I don't know how they got away with that, because there's like barely any cases right now.
Yeah, but I think, so we're still technically in a substantial, I guess, I don't know, I'm not sure how they drag that out. You know, FALA actually locally is still only at a 2-day week, so they're doing a hybrid thing. And I think there's some parents getting ready to file a legal issue with that, because that's definitely breaking the executive order.
Okay. Well, the big news is, and Jane, you're really instrumental in really pushing for kids to go back to in-person education. And the vast majority of our state is now back. Half the state was back before this, though. And without problem. They were even back through the early winter spike.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, most places have kind of just ridden this year out just fine in the classroom.
Yeah.
Except for Flagstaff.
Except for Flagstaff.
Well, yeah. Flagstaff, some of the Tucson area hasn't been great either. So.
Yeah. Well, I guess the parents have to make a choice and the kids have to make a choice. What was that number? Something like 35,000 kids are unaccounted for? What do you read into that?
38,000, yeah. I read into that there's, I don't know if they're not, well, the enrollment's down by 38,000. I think there's still a lot of families that have pulled their kids out this year, for homeschooling. I think within that number, there's going to be a lot of kids that have gone to charter schools. So, probably that includes online charter schools as well.
Yeah.
And then there's some kids that are probably just missing. I don't know what they're doing.
Maybe it's a wait and see an attitude. Okay, my son is, as you know, being homeschooled, but we filed the paperwork with the county, which is what you're required to do, I guess, by state law.
Yeah.
So he should be accounted for as he's one of the third. No, he wouldn't be one of the 38,000 because he should be accounted for.
I think. Yeah, I'm not sure. I just don't know how well their systems are. I'm not sure how well that numbers the county. I'm not sure what that really means.
Yeah. And in a lot of schools, Jane,
I hope there's not 38,000 kids missing.
Yeah. Well, and missing. A lot of schools were like the people weren't even there when they were doing a virtual education. I can't imagine how far behind these kids are now, because a lot of schools were allowing kids to, I don't know what the final numbers were, but just check in, and then they were kind of just spacing out. They weren't really there. They get the attendance. They get the number, basically.
They would check in, and that was it. And then also the kids, in even with enrollment numbers for the schools, you know, if the kids weren't checked, it was hard to say if the kids had left the school or if they just had stopped doing online school. They weren't really unenrolling kids, per se, if their parents hadn't physically gone there and unenrolled them. They just weren't showing up to class. At USC, it wasn't.
Well, yeah, you still get the backpack of money. They're still, quote unquote,
you
there.
You still do, yeah. Huh. Yeah.
Well, okay, what do you think? And folks, talking with Jane Betcher, was this a pivotal year in education history? You know, we've been kind of teaching our kids off this old kind of broke down model for the past, I don't know, 100 years, this industrial revolution type model that you do everything from 9 to 5. And that's just the way it is. The world's changing now, even how we do our businesses, how we operate. I see a lot of federal and state employees. I was reading an article, Jane, that, hey, the governor's not going to have a lot of them come back because they figured out, hey, just do it at home. It's cheaper. So what's it mean for education? Is there going to be this move to online? Is this going to be a move to, I'm not even thinking charter, but private schools going forward? Or is everybody going to forget about this next year when August rolls around and there's, knock on wood, no cases or very little cases, and just they're going to go back to the way it was? What do you think?
Yeah. I think I need a glass ball. So
you and me both.
My prediction is that there's been a shift. I think there's been damage done by schools that haven't gone back. Families definitely feel tremendously let down. And I'm guessing there will be some movement around that where people have choices. Last time when I was on the show, you know, I talked about the school choice stuff going through, that's still working its way through the legislature. I think that there's going to be movement around more school choice, more private schools, more charter schools, that people are going to pay attention to what kind of education, you know, is the union running this school, or are the kids the center of this school? I think that over time we're going to see a shift.
And that's a good question. Is the union running or the kids and parents running the school? You look at San Diego, you did you follow this issue where this blew up, where they're going to go over and teach the kids who came over illegally. They're in these detention centers or whatever the heck's going on.
Yeah.
And people are like, it just exploded. They're like, wait a second, you won't go teach my kids, but you're going to go do that. And that's a sign right there that something's seriously wrong.
Yeah, well, that is really not about safety. No. It's about politics. And I do think that the unions have definitely struck a chord with parents feeling like their kids became political pawns in all of this. And, you know, from a parent's perspective, watching kids suffer on account of that, it's not pretty.
Yeah, I agree. Okay, school choice. What kind of legislation are you seeing working through down in Phoenix? As far as, let me back up here for a second, Jane. If you want to send your kids to a private school, and I looked, there's not a ton of choices, especially in rural communities. Maybe there's a lot more in Phoenix. But I've looked at some of these, and I think you've had some personal experience with the private school route. I mean, I've seen numbers of $7,000, $10,000 per kid per year to do that. Is that a fair assessment, or am I just picking numbers?
Yeah, I think that's fair.
Okay.
Yeah, it's fairish. Yeah.
Okay. So when I see that, I'm seriously considering private schools for the kids, even though, it's super expensive, but I'm thinking, wow, do I send them to the school factories and the public schools that I don't think have the interest in my kids like they used to? And we look at the San Diego issue, but there's many others. And you use the word kids became a political pawn. I don't want my kids to be a political pawn. So I'm like, okay, I got to find a way to come up with this $7,000 to $10,000. That's going to be hard for a lot of people. And these public schools are pushing diversity, equity, and inclusion. Well, people that have $7,000 to $10,000 extra, it's not going to be as diverse anymore, because a lot of people say, I'm just going to take my kids out and they're going to go and I'm going to pay for it.
Yeah. Yeah. So already with the state, so we have tax credits that we can, so for private schools, Arizona taxpayers can contribute $2,300 for a married couple. And basically you're marking your Arizona, you're tagging your Arizona taxes that you would have to already pay anyways. And you're saying, I want it to go to this school and I want it to go to this student.
Okay.
So students already are getting, you know, and $2,300, you have a few different families or friends that paid to that and your kid's tuition is covered at that point. And that's taxes they're going to already have to pay instead of sending it to this big fund.
Instead of dumping it to the state coffers. Yeah, you can direct it is what you're saying.
You direct it.
Okay.
Yes.
So and Jane, let me say this. Check with your tax advisor. We don't give tax advice, but go ahead.
No. I'm not giving tax information, but I am a benefit of that program. My kids are beneficiaries of that.
Okay.
So that already has covered a lot of tuition for Arizona kids. That program still exists. And then there's some other bills going through that would allow for kids in Title I districts, which is a lot of districts in Arizona, to take the money that they would otherwise get for public schools and put it towards their private school tuition.
Well, let me play devil's advocate here and back up with what I was just saying about the schools that want to be more diverse and equitable and inclusive. $2,300 for a married couple to state, I would have to do the math another time and warm up the abacus. But again, that's probably somewhat more of your higher. That's not people who are working a minimum wage job, so they won't be able to divert that.
That's a higher income bracket for sure. Yes.
Okay. Yes. So that's. I mean, it's all good and fine if you've got the money. And
if you have friends in that income bracket.
Yeah, and then you have friends in that income bracket. And please send, if you want to be my friend, talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. I can tell you where to divert the money. You could probably create a fund, a group of people to help with that. But no, it can be a problem. So what they need to do, and let me get your take on this, and I know I've had members of the legislature, members of the House and the Senate on before that talk about vouchers for all and trying to free it up where you get a certain amount. Hey, Jane, here's you get a $5,000 voucher to help with your education costs. Yeah,
yes.
Perfect. But I don't think it exists except for certain limited cases right now in Arizona.
Yeah, no, it doesn't exist yet there. But because of, this past year, it's gained a lot of momentum because, I think parents see the need for more choice and their money to go where the kids are and not where the unions are.
Yeah. And I would like to see that, but I don't know. Are those teacher unions strong enough in Arizona to help thwart that?
That's
the question.
I don't know. I don't think that they've helped. I don't think they've helped their case with this past year.
Yeah, I hope that is the case. Okay, Jane, and folks, we're talking with Jane Boettcher. One more question for you here, and it has to do with homeschooling. I don't think there's. Let's look at the tax credit. So you mentioned $2,300. There's nothing really available in that regard. Is there a way? Because think about all the thousands of families that now homeschool. You know, there's a lot of added expenses to that. So you got to buy your material. My wife was just looking at some of the subscriptions we have to help with the education. My son is being homeschooled now after this fiasco of the past year. But is there any? Is there anything available that you've heard of, or is there any talk of making something available to help the homeschooler defray some of those costs?
Yeah, I think they definitely are talking again about moving that money, that some of the state funds that would otherwise go to public schools, that putting it to private charter or homeschooling.
Okay.
Costs.
Well, that's good news. So you're saying there's hope. You're saying there's a chance. Remember Dumb and Dumber?
Yeah,
I'm glad we live in Arizona because my last guest last hour, he's in New York, and I don't know what his financial condition is, but he owns some very important historic buildings in upstate New York, like back to the Revolutionary War. So I assume he's okay. But even he's like, hey, I think I'm done. I love it here. It's beautiful here, but I can't do it. Imagine trying to even have this conversation in New York. I don't even know how easy it is to homeschool a kid in some of these other states.
I don't know. Yeah. So I just read last week that there was a Wall Street Journal article that America's the number one school choice state.
Arizona is?
Arizona is, yep.
I hope we can keep it that way. I get a little concerned. Maybe the license plates I'm seeing all over our state are the good folks coming over. I'm so mean. The good folks coming over here, fleeing their state. But if you've noticed, a lot of these repressive states and lockdowns and stuff, they're all over the place in Arizona. It's like cars are everywhere with California plates. I just hope that they're not going to change us.
That with the housing prices. Yeah. The California people are thinking they're getting a bargain coming here.
I hope they don't change it.
That's what I'm hoping too. It's making me very nervous.
Yeah. All right, Jane. Thanks for all your work you're doing on with the schools, getting kids back to in-person education. Also, we've all got to come together now, push for total freedom of choice, I guess I'd call it, when it comes to our kids' education, when it comes to vouchers, homeschooling. We need every option, all the options above for our kids, and no more of a union group holding us hostage going forward. Jane, appreciate it.
Thanks, Jeff.
All right, folks. Still got a lot more to come. Don't go anywhere. And if you want to drop me a line, send an email, talkwithjeff@icloud.com. Hang tight. Back in a minute. All right, welcome back. Jeff Horvitz here. Remember to comment by email, talkwithjeff@icloud.com. Also, you can chime in on the Just Wireless listener line, 877-971-3971. The things that I forget. See, I got going with Gerald Salente in the 4 o'clock hour, and we've been doing our Finlay Toyota trivia questions generally during the first segment of the 4 o'clock hour. We're doing this through tomorrow, through Friday. Where you can go and win a pair of Arizona Snowball passes simply by answering a question. But I always get going, and then I forget. So I'm always forgetting something. But we got it. We got it here. We told you we had the trivia question coming up. So this is the daily trivia question. We're doing this through tomorrow. Finlay Toyota Flagstaff. Finlay Toyota Flagstaff bringing this to you. And you can go submit your answer for today's question on 97.1 Big Talker Facebook page. Look up 97.1 Big Talker, 97.1 Big Talker on Facebook, and enter your answer there. One winner will be chosen from all the correct answers each day to receive a pair of one-day passes to the Arizona Snowball, which is just having a phenomenal season, huh? I mean, we still got a heavy snowpack up in the mountains, and here we are April 1st. It's, you know, sometimes it's April Fool's on us and there's no snow, but there's tons of snow up there still. So anyway, pair of one day passes from all of the randomly selected answers here will be chosen. Good for us to 2021 ski season. No purchase necessary. Must be 18 or older to win. Well, here's a question. When was the first hybrid vehicle introduced to the world? Go to 97.1 Big Talker Facebook page. Enter your answer to the question there. You get two passes to the Arizona Snowball from courtesy of our friends at Finlay Toyota Flagstaff. When was the first hybrid vehicle introduced to the world? I have no idea. I have no idea. Do you think you can do it without looking it up? Or is everyone just cheat nowadays? Is everyone just Google that? I don't know. Probably, right? A correction from yesterday. Rob Wilson of Timberline Firearms and Training was with us, and we got on the subject of parallels at one point. And that was a great show yesterday, Open Line Wednesday. And you can listen to it by going to talkwithjeff.com. But we got on the subject of parallels in history. You know, they say that sometimes people say history repeats itself, but it's more like history kind of rhymes. But there are great parallels between the Roman Empire and where we're at today. And I was talking about this series that I've been watching. You know, I've always studied Roman history. I find it absolutely fascinating. And if there's a good documentary I love watching, I really like the docudramas where they tend to, they have people reenact the history, but then they also have historians there. So it's not all, you know, crazy and inaccurate. You know, it's still Hollywood. There still can be inaccuracies. But I think what's great about this time we live in, to a degree, if you're not binge watching 10 hours a day, but there are so many, the production quality on so many things has stepped up so much in the past decade or so, and places like Netflix and Prime and other places, Showtime, HBO. I mean, so many places have to compete. It can't be the cheesy looking Godzilla monster anymore. It has to be really high quality. So anyway, there's a series I've been watching on Netflix called Roman Empire, and there's three seasons so far. I watched I'm currently watching the one on Julius Caesar and his history. It's a phenomenal transition from the Roman Republic to the Roman Empire. But the one before that, the first season was actually on Commodus. And yesterday I could not remember the name. I was saying, like, I don't know what I said, but the emperor was Commodus, and that was Marcus Aurelius's son, who he basically handpicked to be the successor, a hereditary line. And Commodus was kind of like, he'd be kind of like your just nowadays playboy partier, social media star, and you decide to hand over to this partier, the cool kid, the reins of, like, to give that person the presidency right now. Well, I guess we can question what's going on at the presidency right now. But it'd be kind of like to say, hey, the largest empire on the face of the earth, and for its time, and even now, I mean, controlled most of Europe. Here, Commodus, just take this and run with it. Well, it didn't turn out very good, and I won't spoil it for you if you haven't watched this. It is quite graphic, so I wish my son Owen could watch it with me, but there is nudity, things like that. Think Roman times, and there's also, it is very graphic as far as the fighting. It was a very violent society. But anyway, I recommend it. I think it's some great history to introduce you to Roman history and possibly see the parallels and how people are, thousands of years later, people are still people. There's still slimy politicians. There's still people trying to do the right thing. And humanity hasn't changed that much in all that time. Well worth the watching. And by the way, I mentioned this because somebody corrected me as far as, I think I said it was Claudius, and it was Commodus was the emperor. Here's an article. We hit on this last hour with Gerald Celente from the Trends Journal. This is from The Blaze, which I don't know if that's still Glenn Beck's site. I think that Mark Levin actually may have bought that up, his company. But anyway, they still produce a lot of great information out there. They have an article titled International Air Transport Association Announces Development of COVID Vaccine Passport App. And I mentioned this last hour to Gerald and read that headline. The International Air Transportation Association, a trade association representing most of the world's prominent airlines, they announced yesterday that a COVID vaccine passport app would be launched on the Apple platform mid-April, so this month, which represents the first significant step toward the possible adoption of such a system by most of the world's airlines. According to Reuters, the app will launch on the Android platform at an unspecified later date. I mean, how much longer can it be? You do an app on Apple, it's going to come out on Android pretty quick, I would think. This is the battle that's brewing right now. I think most countries, I think if you're going to want to go to Europe, you're going to have the Vax Pass, the vaccine passport. And Gerald was hitting on this last hour. If you missed my interview with Gerald Celente, go to talkwithjeff.com. You won't be able to travel. He was talking about Israel, which was the first to introduce this. And controversy there, because you think back on the history and you're like, wait, you got to have this passport to get in, to even travel, to move. You got to have this documentation in order. So a lot of people are concerned about privacy concerns. Now, the app, according to this Blaze article, is designed to speed up the check-in process by allowing travelers to import proof of their vaccination and or negative COVID tests onto their phone in a format that can easily be scanned and verified by airline employees. Well, I mean, airline employees, who are they talking about? The TSA. They'd have to be talking about the TSA, right? Would you give it to the person checking? Nobody checks in person anymore. Maybe it's just done electronically and you don't even have to give it to them. I don't know. It's probably the TSA, so you can get groped and hand them your medical. Oh, I'm sorry. I may have offended someone. According to Engadget, the app also contains a database of COVID travel restrictions that will alert passengers of what they need to know before they fly somewhere. I assume that will ask for, when you normally sign up for this kind, these kind of apps, they have the tracking, the geo-tracking, the tracking information. They know where you're at. So that way, Jeff, you're entering Heathrow in London. And by the way, here's the travel restrictions. They know right where you're at. But anyway, it's also purportedly, according to this Blaze article, contains a secure encrypted channel that will allow medical providers to send over vaccination and testing records securely. I just presume that nothing is secure anymore. I mean, if people can hack into secret government websites, banks, all these institutions that spend a fortune and have people just monitoring this stuff, I just presume anything that I have out there that's on a device is not secure. Now, maybe blockchain technology will change that eventually, but I don't know. If it's connected somewhere, it's tethered somehow, whether wirelessly or hardwire or whatever, there's a database of it. There's a computer. There's got to be a computer holding this stuff somewhere. There's no such thing as the cloud. It's not this, you know, mythical thing where there's unicorns floating around. There's just server farms. So I don't know how this anything is really truly secure anymore. But anyway, that's the trend. That's the thing. It's going to be the vaccine passports. Now, the debate or the argument, the thing that's happening that I was trying to hit on heavily with Gerald last hour is free states, and he was talking about this too, free states to a degree, Arizona, Texas, Florida, South Dakota, I mean, most of the western states, it seems, well, I mean, not the mountain states, California is a lost cause, Washington, Oregon, they're beautiful places, but lost causes. But the debate that's raging right now, and we're going to try to get Senator Kelly Townsend back on the program. I'm hoping for maybe this week still, but maybe next week. She has a bill, strike all bill, down at the legislature that would make vaccine passports in Arizona illegal. That doesn't help you if you're going to New York, for example, though, where they have a vaccine passport where I don't know, will there be a Supreme Court that says it's illegal for someone to be required this? But heck, if you want to go to another country, if you want to go to Europe, what are you going to do? Protest? That's not your government. They can require it. So you can't travel there anymore. So anyway, that's the battle right now. So Senator Townsend has this bill. It's called the strike all bill to make vaccine passports illegal going forward. What do you think about that? I'd love your thoughts. Go ahead and email me. talkwithjeff@icloud.com. talkwithjeff@icloud.com. Vaccine passports. Would you do it? Or are you just going to stay in your home state, stay in Arizona? Yeah. Do you want to travel internationally? What about cruises? I know a lot of folks, that was a big business that's just dead right now. Surprised that you can't just buy a cruise ship really cheap. But do you think they're going to let you step on a cruise ship without a vax passport? So would you, if you're a cruiser and you're dying to get back to cruises and the all-you-can-eat buffets, and I think the buffets are gone, though. I don't think anyone's going to be reaching in to get to put the cheese on their salad or whatever to grab more chicken wings. I think the buffet is gone. But if you like cruising, what would trigger you to get the vaccine passport? Anything? I'd love to hear from you. talkwithjeff@icloud.com. I don't know if I have time for this one. Yeah, let's hit on... let's hit on this issue on Fox News. I saw this article. Hang on one second. Let me get my bearings here. This is actually Fox News out of New York. It's a New York day. We were talking with Gerald, and this article just randomly came up. By the way, they have a freeze watch there. I guess it's cold. We're in beautiful weather right now here. As reopening continues, restaurants struggle to find staff. And I think we're seeing this more and more. That it's hard to lure, especially think about places like New York that have higher unemployment, state unemployment. Look, Arizona has, I think it's like 200 and it's under $300 a week in Arizona unemployment. I think the feds added $300 per week. But a lot of states have much higher weekly unemployment. It's getting hard to lure people back. And what this article is saying that these restaurants are forced to close and the servers that worked there, they've either found new jobs and they become, they cited these examples, contact tracers. Remember the people that try to trace down who's got COVID. I think that's just ridiculous anymore that you can't even track this down anymore. And then many people went on to become, to just take the unemployment, exactly what I was talking about. So what's happening now is as places are reopening, they're having a hard time finding employees to hire back for two big reasons. One is because of the unemployment, the weekly unemployment, and the other is because they found new jobs. So again, it's going to be harder and harder. It's going to probably be more and more expensive to operate these places, and it's going to be harder and harder to actually find the employees to actually take these jobs. Man, the consequences of the last year are still just unrolling and unfolding, and it's going to be amazing to see all the negative consequences. Maybe there'll be some positive that happen here from the results of these decisions from these politicians. All right, that's it for today. Don't forget to go to talkwithjeff.com. Go to talkwithjeff.com. Subscribe to the podcast tomorrow. Mayor FlexF Paul Deasy plus Glenn Least with a market update. See you tomorrow. Have a good night.